Et pas l'enceinte. Pas la santé. And I would really like to hear from you. Thank you very much, Pisan. You actually gave a wonderful introduction. And it's very important to say that my work comes from my different experiences, and basically the Aletna Club. So it is a cooperative youth club in Nazareth that we founded in June 2021, since the incidents of May. So when we set out to set the project and the objectives and what we wanted to do for our town, it was clear that we are building a political project through which we wanted to do real grassroots work. And indeed, one of the main things that we wanted to work on was how to create a substitute for the institutions that are labeled as educational in our 1948 context. I want to talk about Nazareth in particular, but when I talk about Nazareth, I'm talking about the 1948 situation. And I believe that the difference between what Anna said and what I will say is that schools in 1948 areas is that they are not talking about political content that talks less about today and the past. No. Schools in 1948 areas are tools for ignorance that blacks out any history about the Palestinians. But I want to talk about two things about the institution of schools. So first of all, blacking or ignoring our history, the source of our identity, our roots, any knowledge that a school provides is a knowledge that is cut off from the reality or context that we live, whether it is literature or history. So Bisan is saying anything that ties me to my roots, where I come from. Maria is saying, yes, it's like knowledge in a vacuum. It's as if there are no roots to who we are. So it's the literature. So whether it's the literature that we are learning, the history that we receive in school is not linked to our identity. So this indeed contributes to our youth not knowing and not being knowledgeable in the 1948 areas. So we are indeed living a vicious defragmentation, and we know the Oslo Agreement and is one of the main reasons and causes behind this defragmentation. But I believe that one thing that augments this problem is the individual way of thinking. How much defragmentation is eating away at us. So I believe it's something that is caused by the enemy. And schools have a direct impact. And when you are living or when you are going to schools for 12 years, and anytime you want to take a decision, you have to think about your process, your individual process, your success, your income. It's as if, or you are also indeed cut off from your neighborhood, your family, your context. So it's as if we are only caring about our individual needs. So this doesn't just increase the defragmentation and increases the difficulty of our day-to-day lives, but I believe that it does also serve the colonial benefits, and one thing feeds off the other. And when you are raised without any belonging or any loyalty to your space, and you're not educated about your education, and all your education is steered towards focus on your education, your career, and your money, and I believe it's very destructive. And also, in the context of the 1948 areas, what is not known is the amount of blacking out this information. So we're talking about Palestinians who remained post vicious massacres against the Palestinians during the Nakba and after the Nakba, and they are the originals, as we like to say. And in the first 20 years after what is called the State of Israel, they were under military rule. So they were under military occupation, and all the resistance sources were being shut down. So another question is, how do we educate ourselves within this context? Is something very difficult, because you are going to the roots of the original. Because what we are talking about in the West Bank and Gaza is something clear. But at least in the institutions you have something different, which is your ability to call yourself a Palestinian. However, you have to educate your children ever since they are children. And I hear this from my friends, how each person has their own path to go back to their roots and to rediscover their Palestinianism in the 1948 areas. So if you would like to continue. I was talking to our friends, or I was talking to my friends in our process of our loyalty and belonging to our identity and our lands, but you are saying that you are lucky if you were born that brings you knowledge regarding who you are and what they are. But the question is, the fear that the parents feel, especially the second generation after the Nakba, I believe that this fear is a very impactful factor. Because to run away and to escape to individualism more and to individual thinking, take your certificate, be educated, and work on yourself. No, this is something that tells us we need to be more resilient. It's as if if we were to go and become political or to educate ourselves politically, it's as if we are throwing ourselves into danger. So I believe that parents choose to not bring these things to their children, not to tell them that you are here because of this, this is what happened. So many times they come from a place of, or they do this from a place of protecting their children. I believe that. How in your work are you overcoming this? How are you trying to reconnect the new generation with our identity? I believe there are two levels. Providing and allowing spaces to bring knowledge, historic, social. There is the other space of how to create spaces that allows young men and women to meet each other. Because just as you said, Bissan, in the beginning, the introduction, one of the instances, one of the cases in Nazareth that is very difficult is classism. First of all, crimes that are eating away at the society, and classes that are very clear in Nazar, and it's very visual. And I think that schools contribute to increasing this classism. So there are private schools, and there are public schools that are funded by the government. And the funding to the government schools is very bad. And the experience in government schools is very difficult, because schools are in a bad situation when it comes to economic and financial or funding aspects. So in order to have a better experience in school, you need to go to a private school, which of course is more expensive and costly. So this creates a clear divide. And for children to have the people who are giving their children a better education, a better experience, are those, the parents who have more money. And this is where your role comes in. He is saying yes on two levels. I want to give an example of a project that we are working on, which is teaching. So the project is called Tadris, or teaching. So we give private lessons in different subjects, like maths, Arabic, or English. So high school students give these private lessons to middle school students. They are volunteers, and they are free lessons, since all of the circumstances of the schools is very bad, and the students need private tutoring. This is something that is very expensive. So either we make it free and available for all, or we are making it free and available for all. And also through this project, the young men or the youth are meeting from different neighborhoods, from different schools. And it's because in Nazareth, there are different bubbles. Each neighborhood is like its own world. So I believe that doing this helps at removing some of this classism, and also providing the tools for these students to continue in these schools. And I think the second level is the culture and art as a method or means of political education. I believe one of the difficult and hard things is that in many institutional frameworks, the cultural products are separated from the political context. So the question is, how can culture engage with the different contexts? I believe it is something very destructive to create a culture that only focuses on the aesthetics and is not connected to our reality. So I believe we need to have artistic lectures, shows, exhibitions, but linked to our reality, and to continue to ask questions about our reality, our street, our home, and to not create culture just for the sake of culture, because it would remain stuck to a certain class. Because if the culture isn't linked and connected to the reality and context and people, then the consumers of these products will be only a few, or the elite. So we are working, and we are also trying to learn. We don't always have clear answers, but the hip hop school that we are still opening, it has students that are getting introduced to the hip hop culture, and through our school we are asking questions. Our reality as Palestinians in the 1948 areas in the West Bank and Gaza. Thank you very much, Maria. I'm very sorry, but I need to go to our third speaker, Dr. Abahir. Dr. Abahir will also be with us, and he can tell us about how he reads the reality and context. He is a sociologist and is a lecturer in the Behavioral Science and Social Department at the Birzeit University. Dr. Abahir, hello and welcome. Thank you very much, and I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you very much, Maria and Amina. And I'm very happy because this meeting always reminds us that the first lesson that the experience taught us is that we are living in one colonial context, and the first colonies are in the 1948 areas, and the second colonial work is in the 1967 areas. And it's very important because throughout the political work, they were working on these two areas as if they were two different worlds. But the reality proves us that we have one colonial reality, although they might differ a little bit, but they have one thing in common, which is the same colonial settler. So I am listening to, I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties. So I am listening to the reality that you explained, Amna, and the gaps, the voids between the generations and the same, and also what is happening in the 1948 areas. And Amna, she's thinking, how can we think about the curriculum? There are, of course, shared issues about how the curriculum is given. So this can be solved either by sending our schools to our private schools instead of public schools, and everything that Amna and Maria talked about individual concerns and needs and not the collective ones. This is not something that came out of the blue. This came from colonial settler plans in the first colonial area and in the second colonial area to insert a new kind of culture and to make us believe that we are living under a different state, that we are, of course, we are paying for this because of the Oslo Agreement. So what I tried to read was the common denominator is to provide projects that go beyond the defragmentation and to embody these collective relationships in these shared spaces, because at first sight we have a digital, Amna has a digital space, and we have another space in Nazareth that is fighting to not become more Hebrew, more Israeli, but of course in both these areas the colonial settler is working, of course, in different ways, and I will be focusing on some elements to open a discussion on that. So we are living in a look at me, or in a watching world, because everyone is watching what is happening in the virtual world, and we forget that these electronic methods are only for expression. And a lot of the times we find a lot of people that are falling into the trap of responding to the narrative of the colonizer, but we have our own narrative, and we are not interested in answering or responding to the colonizer's narrative. So we must be very alert that the electronic content and these virtual platforms are virtual only, and many of these realities or contexts that are virtual do not come to reality. So people think, so there might be assistance by lighting something, but it does not translate on the ground. There is a void between the virtual world and the actual and reality world. Of course, the virtual world is a reflection of the social reality, but there needs to be more connection, communication between both worlds. So something else about that links back to the title of this summit, Unity, looking at both colonial areas, and we look at who we're talking about, our link and connection to the land and our identity. So thinking about education and linking the education is something very important. This used to be something that was more present in the past. So education in the past was the catalyst towards victory for the socioeconomic movement, but it is no longer existing. Thus, education is only for providing the labor market with no workers. And this labor market that we are living in is very small and is not very linked or connected to the universities. I'm sorry, I need to stop talking. It's okay, they're telling us that we have 5 minutes. This is such a nice conversation. Time flew. Daoud, do we have time to ask questions? Or should we continue with the 5 minutes? All right, he's saying we can continue. Dr. Abaher, wonderful what you are saying. The question is, So all the efforts that Amna is doing and the content creating is something amazing. And there is a large percentage of these young men and women are out of the trap of responding to the narrative of the colonial settler, and they are not ashamed or afraid to talk about what the Palestinian Authority is doing. So what is your opinion? Dr. Abaher is saying, since we don't have a compass, so the PLO has its important symbolism, not only symbolism, but the universities are not producing what we need for the labor market, but we need to each go into our own field to provide or present an initiative that would catalyst and activate collective work, to activate bringing us together and going over. Fragmentation is created by collective initiatives to replace these very old and archaic organizations and institutions, and to overcome division, colonial fragmentation, and of course all of this would serve the purpose that we are all working on. So we should not wait for the political party to lead us, because the political party is in a crisis, and we don't need political parties to lead us, because the context creates new methods of expression, and of course the upcoming reality will be creating the leaders. This means we don't need to keep being in these factions and political parties. Of course, there is a lot in the Palestinian context by learning. So whether so horizontal learning instead of vertical learning, traineeship, apprenticeship, and so on. So I believe that we can each think of in a creative way as to how to be creative in your own medium and to take this experience that and apply it to others. So these individual experiences can be applied to the collective experience to come out of this crisis. Thank you very much. I believe your last sentence answered the question of our session. Our time is done. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you, Build Palestine, for this opportunity. Thank you very much. God bless your efforts. All right. Thank you very much, Bissan, Dr. Abahir, Amna, and Maria. Everything you said, every opinion you said was very interesting. I would like to say from what you said to remember. From Ghassan Kanafani's novel, do you know what our homeland is? Our homeland is inside all of us. So indeed, each one of us can have a definition, a different definition as to what our homeland is, what is Palestine. That is why this is something that is specific to each and every person. And we are the ones who decide what Palestine means through our actions, our thoughts, and our practices. I would like that everyone who is watching to share this link. Now it is time for the break. After every session, we would like to tell you that every session we have a break. Let's give you a time to stretch your legs and to come back with a new energy. So please don't forget to share. And please use the hashtag unity. During this break, you will see a video about solar food. To know more about it, go to the expo area. We'll see you after the break. Goodbye.